You are listening to WRUU Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Parenting Room 101. I'm your host, Christy Sanborn, and I'm so excited to be with you today. Today, my guest is Robert Sabeda. He's on the phone with us today. Robert is a proud husband. He's a father of two grown boys. He's a broker associate with Keller Williams. He's a golfer. He's a Taurus. He loves Miami, and he was my realtor in New Jersey. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Christy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor to have you today. Thank you for coming. You know, I want to share a little bit about how we met about 12 years ago, believe it or not. It's been that long, Rob. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I know.
Incredible.
Yes. We met at a men's hair salon in Livingston, New Jersey, where I was working, and Rob would come in. And I just really enjoyed speaking with you back then. I just thought you were just such a nice, open person and always in good spirits. And then, you know, at the point where we were ready to move to Savannah, Georgia, I thought, wow, I know a realtor. I didn't even have to think twice about who I was going to call. It was you. So you were the realtor. You came and helped us get our house ready and helped us sell the house and get here to our next chapter down south. So we're always appreciative of how you showed up then for us and helped us with that process.
Yeah, it was a pleasure working with you, and how nice it is that we've kept in touch 12 years later. Isn't that great?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what relationships are when it comes to any business that you're in, I feel. And you build that rapport with people, and you want to touch base with them every so often and see how they're doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great experience working with you, I remember how... You know what I loved working with you? You listen to everything that I recommended, and it all worked out exactly the way we planned.
Yes, it did. Were you surprised when you walked in for the open house of the transformation that we did to our home prior to that?
Incredible. I love that. I mean, this is like a dream client for me, you know, when they actually...
Thank you.
Right? You are the dream client.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, we trusted your guidance, and we knew that you were looking out for our best interests, and we knew that the house needed some major work to be ready to be, you know, open house ready, so to speak. So whatever you said, you're the expert, right? We were just willing to just go by whatever you said, and you gave us that timeline, and we went with it, and we were so proud.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm. So I want to, before we jump back into the real estate talk, because we will absolutely talk about that, I had a quick question for you, because I know you play golf. Have you ever gotten a hole in one?
No.
Oh, okay. Not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. For some reason, that popped into my head this morning. I wanted to ask you that. So maybe the next time we chat, you'll have a different story to tell, Rob.
Yeah, well, you know what? I love golf now, but it's a relatively new sport for me. I was a soccer player. I played Division I in college, and I played, you know, throughout my 20s and 30s and 40s, probably up until I was 50 years old, with like several leagues in New Jersey, with really, you know, high level individuals that either were professionals or played in college, and then, of course, you know, my knee blew up, and then I stopped, and then I started kind of playing golf.
Mm, okay. And you enjoy it?
I love it. Mm. I love it. It's a hard sport, difficult, you know, coming from a team sport to an individual sport is a challenge, and especially, you know, when you use your feet, you know, in soccer, using your arm, it's a challenge, but I love it. Mm. You know what I love the most? There is nothing like spending 4 hours with my boys on the golf course. It's the most rewarding experience for a father.
Oh my gosh. How often does that happen?
You know, It doesn't happen as much as I'd like, but anytime we have an opportunity, I always invite them.
Mm. I love it. You see, that right there, that's everything. Just the fact that there's an open door policy, that they're invited. I think that's what all kids desire with their parents as they get older. Just knowing that they could show up if they wanted to, right?
Completely.
What kind of dad were you when the boys were growing up? If you could put that into a few words.
Yeah, so, you know, we're a very, very close-knit family. You know, I grew up in a close-knit family. My wife, Marlisa, grew up in a close-knit family. So we always had that structure. And we were both working. We were working parents, but we always found the time to... I talked about soccer. You know, my kids played soccer. I used to travel with them every weekend to games, away games, home games, practices, whatever they wanted to do, you know, we were always there for them. And always gave them the opportunity to grow, both in sports and academically.
Wow. Looking back, do you think you did a good job as a father when they were young?
Well, now I can tell you in hindsight, we did a great job, you know, but it wasn't always a straight line of oh my God, you know, because you could be the greatest parent, right? But it doesn't always work out for everyone, for the kids, for the parent, you know, there has to be a little bit of luck, but it's a roller coaster. I mean, certainly, you know, with my kids, it was a roller coaster. And I can certainly tell you some stories, you know, how it all turned out. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't think that just being a great parent is a guarantee for the kids to succeed as well as every parent hopes for. In my case, you know, it happened, but it was bumpy.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to know what advice that you may give parents who are currently raising young boys today, because boys can be tough. I have a boy myself, and it can be very challenging at times.
Yeah. So, I mean, so right now my boys are 28 and 31. So the older one, in high school, let's just say that school was not a priority for him.
Mm, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he just basically cruised through high school. I don't think he studied as well as he could. And it was very frustrating. And really, Marlisa and I, you know, poured a lot of effort and also resources with tutors and helping him with the SAT and really trying to help him get into a good college. And our thinking was that hopefully if he can get into a good college, he can thrive there and make a turn from where he was. And so... He got accepted to Binghamton University, to State School in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, fine, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it's not the top school that we hope that he can get into, but it was good enough considering, you know, where he was in high school. And one of the interesting things that I did, Christy, is that before he went to college, I actually wrote up a one-page contract. And
really?
Yes. And it was a one-page contract. You know, it's been a while, but it probably had like 13, 14 points on the contract. And, you know, some of it was like, you know, that you would honor us, you know, as our child, and that you would behave in a certain way, that you would have a minimum GPA of, I forget what it was, that you would come home for the holidays. and there were some other points there. But there was one point in that one-page contract that he signed is that we wrote that he's going to get federal loans in his name. And if he graduates in 4 years, he doesn't need to worry about it.
Wow, I love it. Okay, good. There's incentive.
Yes. Yes, so he's got skin in the game. So fast forward, 3 months before graduation, we get a phone call from him. And he says, Dad, Mom, you know, I effed up. I need 9 more credits to graduate, and I have to stay for a 9th semester. Oh, my God. That was, like, the most difficult phone call to get from him. And at that point, I was like, you know, you spent 4 years in college. What have you been doing?
Yes.
And he... and I literally told him, listen, you know, if you wanna come work at a gas station here, I know people in town, you know, I'll find you a job. And he said, no, let me just graduate and finish my credits next semester. So we said, fine. So all his friends graduated, got jobs, and he stayed for a 9th semester.
Wow.
And a month into his 9th semester, I guess, like, I don't know what came upon him, but he called us up and he says, Mom, Dad, I decided to study for the LSATs. And he basically bunkered down, studied for the LSATs, took the LSATs, scored in the top 5% of test takers for the LSATs, got accepted to law school in New York City. They gave him, for just accepting him, they gave him a 66% you know, free funding, essentially. And he went through, he finished his first year at the top of his class.
Oh my goodness.
In law school.
What?
Then they gave him a free ride for the next 2 years. And he got a job at what many consider one of the top law firms in the world at Skadden Arps. And he was the only, he didn't go to an Ivy League law school. He went to a law school, and he was the only student from that school that was even offered a job at that law firm, because they only hire from Harvard and Yale and top law schools. So here we are. I mean, that's the story that we went. And you know, the takeaway from all of this is that two things. One, that it's not a straight line. And the second thing is that you never give up on the kids, because, you know, everybody flourishes at different times. And for my son, he just happened to be on the late side.
Yes.
That something clicked with him, that he just said, that's enough, you know, I'm done, I'm serious, and that's a story.
Wow, so inspiring. I mean, and you never saw that coming. You didn't know that he had that in mind ever.
I never saw that. I mean, you know, we knew that underneath all of that, you know, the unseriousness that he behaved like during high school and college, we knew that underneath all of that, he was brilliant. He never really applied it. He didn't care.
Yes.
It wasn't important to him.
Mm-hmm. See, but when you say that, Rob, when you say we knew he was brilliant, he knew that you knew he was brilliant. See, that's the belief that a child can feel with a parent. They can feel that if you believe in them or not, and that you didn't give up on him. All those things matter. So you saw it before he did. I mean, as a parent, I think that's our duty to see the greatness in our kids. We have to see that. We have to make a conscious effort every day to look for the greatness that they have, even if they don't see it. And that's how you get this kind of outcome, I believe.
Well, so you have to have faith.
Yes.
And you have to, and again, it depends. Look, everybody's different. I'm only sharing my way, and my wife's way is that, you know, we believe that anybody can do anything if they put their mind to it, right? So we always gave them that belief that, you know, you could do anything you want. Nothing is going to stop you except yourself.
Yes.
And so they might not verbalize, you know, that we believe in them so much, but you're right. Like, in their soul, they know that.
They do. They can feel that. Yes.
Yes.
And I always say it only takes one person in your corner in life that believes in you, and you can do anything. It doesn't take a whole team. It takes one person who's like, you know what? I know who you really are. I believe in you. I believe you. I know you got this. That's all you need. And you're lucky to have, I mean, your kids obviously had more than just one. They had two. And probably, did you have other family members involved while they were growing up, helping out?
You mean with my, for me personally?
Yes.
Or for the kids?
For the kids. Did you have your parents or your wife's parents step in and help?
You know what? It was really, really more Marlisa and I. And I probably give more credit to Marlisa than me. But we were both on the same page.
Yes.
You know, but totally. So, you know, it really worked out wonderfully. You know, and with my second son as well. You know, right now he's, so he also signed that contract, right?
Oh, he did. Same one?
Of course he did. Of course he signed. I mean, that was like 3 years later.
That's great.
So, well, and he didn't want to be in that same situation. So he took a different route. You know, he got into Lehigh University in Pennsylvania, and he studied finance, went into investment banking, doing M&A in the healthcare sector. And then 4 years later, he basically quit and decided to start his own startup company in the healthcare sector. And currently, you know, he's building his business. He's a little bit like over a year now since he started the business. He lives in Miami and he loves it. I mean, you know, he's growing, and it's just wonderful to see him succeed and taking on that entrepreneurship that we always knew that he had since he was a boy.
Again, you saw something there early on that maybe he didn't even notice until later. That's so great. I'm so happy. Congratulations on the success of your voice. It's incredible.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you would do differently if you could go back and raise them again? Is there anything that comes to mind?
I need to think about what we would do differently, but I can tell you straight away, there are many things that I'm sure we could have done differently. You know, I think that, you know, we were kind of parents where, like, we didn't hover over the kids, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, did you study? Did you do this? Did show me what you did? You know, like we were not those kind of parents that we provided the resources. We were both working very hard. We provided the resources, and we basically hoped that they would just take it upon themselves to study and be a good student, because education was always important to us.
Mm.
And in hindsight, perhaps, we could have been more involved in their day-to-day homework and things like that. So in hindsight, maybe that would have made a difference.
Hmm. Okay, but that's a small detail. It's not like any huge change you would have made. So it sounds like you guys just orchestrated it beautifully. I mean, like you said, it's not a straight line, but you were always on the same page. And I'd love to know a little bit more about your wife, too. You guys have been together for 33 years now?
Yes, 33 years.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
So what do you think are the secrets to your happy, lasting relationship, the two of you?
So let me say that even marriage is not a straight line,
mm.
okay? And if anybody tells you it's a straight line, they're not telling the truth.
That's
it's
right.
not a straight line. There are bumps in the road, and we certainly had our bumps in the road. I think that a couple of things that need to happen and need to be present for a marriage to be successful. The first thing is respect.
Mm.
If there's no respect, it's really, really difficult to build a long-lasting relationship.
Yes.
And the second thing that I learned is that, I'm sure you've heard that before, it's called compromise.
Mm, yes. What a great word. Wow. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so compromising is just a huge, huge part of a relationship. So I just want to give you like a little bit of an example.
Mm.
When I say respect, mm-hmm. okay?
Yes, please.
I remember when my oldest son, Elon, I think he might have been 16 or maybe 15 or 16. He was dating this girl. And one day, like he was dating her for like a while. And one day he says, you know what, I'm not going to date her anymore. I'm done.
Mm.
So we asked him, okay. I mean, did you talk to her? He said, no. I mean, I'm just not going to contact her. I literally took him up to his room and I coached him. I coached him for 20 minutes to make a phone call to her and ending it in a proper way.
Wow.
And he did it. He did it right in front of me. And that was a lesson that I gave him when he was 16, how to treat relationships.
Mm.
And so I certainly carry that with my wife. And that's why, I can probably tell you, I'll tell you another thing. I think that doing, self-work and working on yourself as an individual, as a husband, as a person, as a business person, as a professional, it has helped me. And I've invested more resources and money into, myself than marketing anything that I've done in business.
Mm.
And that's what helped me become the person that I am.
Mm. Yes. That's the secret, isn't it?
That's the secret. You have to... So my wife and I had a rough patch. I want to say it was about 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember when I was talking to, someone that helped me through it, they said to me, when a couple has like a difficult situation, there are three scenarios, if you will, that they have seen in those situations. One is that the husband basically says, you know what, or the spouse, it doesn't need to be the husband, could be either one. They say, hey, you know what, I'm done. Mm. I'm just done. I'm going to go in my own way. The second scenario is that, you know, one of them said that they just become ambivalent and they don't do anything about it. And the third, which is what I did, is I really wanted to examine myself and how I was behaving in that relationship. And I did a lot of work on myself to understand not only what I did, but how it landed on my wife. Mm. So, you know, that was a huge part of the growing. And then I can tell you today after, you know, having, I'm sure you've heard of NLP, which is neuro-linguistics programming.
Yes, yes.
You know, we are both master practitioners of NLP.
Oh, wow, cool.
And yeah, so we, you know, it's basically understanding how the mind works and helping us communicate both personally and in business, and all about communication.
Yes, it is.
So that's a huge part. And I can tell you right now that our relationship 33 years later is stronger than it's ever been.
Mm. Amazing. So nice to hear that. We don't hear that enough in the society. And I think we should be celebrating this so much more often. The people that are doing the work on themselves and inside the relationship, and how that shows in real life time, because you can tell. When you see a happy couple walk down the road, you can tell if things are well at home. And you can tell the people that are faking it, and it's not. But it does take work, and it does take personal growth work. I'd love to know, what are you still working on personally right now? Which part of your life still needs a lot of your attention, or are you focusing your attention on?
So, you know, it's interesting. Like, even before I got into real estate, and I don't remember exactly when it was, like if I was in my 20s or in my 30s, I was always enamored with how politicians articulate themselves. Not what they say, but how they say it. Mm. And it really, really fascinated me to learn that language, if you will, you know, on how to communicate with people. And so it's been a journey for me to, you know, whether it's, you know, listening and taking different kinds of seminars mostly on communication. Mm. That really supported me, not only in my personal life, but also in business, and it's amazing if you understand the concept of it's not what you say, it's how it lands on people, you know, that opens up lots of doors for anyone that wants to improve in business and personal life. It's not what you say, it's how it lands on people.
Yes. Well, what I'm hearing is emotional intelligence, right? Because that's really a higher level of communication with other human beings. If we are in tune emotionally with ourselves, can we also have empathy and extend that to other people? And like you said, have what we're saying land correctly. That has a lot to do with our tone, our intention for what we're saying, right? All of these things play a part. Did you read any, do you recommend any books or podcasts or any mentors over the years that you've been doing this work? But is there anyone that comes to mind that you would like to share?
I mean, Tony Robbins is great. You know, if you like Tony Robbins, I'm not a huge book reader. I'm more, I just love sitting and listening in different seminars. You know, there is a, I don't know if you've heard of Landmark Education.
Yes.
That's like the study of ontology, like the study of being.
Mm.
You know, that has had tremendous, you know, influence on what I learned about, you know, what integrity is. I think a lot of people lack integrity.
Mm. Wow. Yes. I agree. And why is that? Were they not modeled that as a child, possibly? What are your thoughts on that?
It's possible. It's possible that, you know, it all depends on the model that you grew up in.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you didn't grow up in that model, then it's very, very hard. But it doesn't mean that even if you didn't grow up in that model and one day you decided to do, you know, self-work, you can learn it.
Yes.
You can definitely learn it, to understand what integrity is. And, you know, and I hear it all the time, in especially in my profession. I hear agents and how they speak to other agents and how they speak to, you know, clients. And the thing is that most people, when you, especially in business, even in personal, people like to be right.
Yes.
That's like an inherent thing to always be right, right?
Mm-hmm.
So someone says something, and then you say what you think is right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what most people don't understand is that the moment that you make yourself right, you make the other person wrong.
Mm.
So, and I hear it everywhere, you know, people say something, and then you say what you think is right, and then automatically you made that person wrong.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, you say something to me, and I would say, you know what? I can understand why you would say that.
Mm.
Can I offer you a different perspective?
Mm.
You see how that lands on people? And that's how, if you're able to communicate that, in that way, you can come across, and ultimately, you can move people to wherever you'd like them to move them to.
Yes, because it's a win-win strategy with something like
yes.
that. And there's the
yes.
compromise piece, too, there. Like, I'll hear you out,
yes.
you hear me out, and then we'll compromise here. And
yes.
yeah, what a simple yet extremely important topic that we should all be discussing
yes.
more in our lives. Yes. Take us back to your childhood for a moment. What was life like when you were growing up? Were your parents with you a lot? Did they spend a lot of time instilling these values into you?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I grew up mother and father, two sisters, also very close-knit family. Interesting. I was an athlete. And I really, really, like, I played soccer at a high level,
mm.
you know, not the highest level, but, you know, a high level. And, you know, you'd be surprised to learn that my father never watched me play once. It just, to him, it was, I guess he said sports was not important to him. He was not a sports person.
Hmm.
And, you know, it really, for the longest time, it bothered me until, you know, I started doing, you know, the self-work that we talked about.
Mm.
And I realized that everything that I am today and who I am is because of my parents.
Wow.
And so I remember having a conversation with him and basically just asking him, you know, because I didn't have any resentment anymore. I, you know, it was all behind me. And I just wanted to approach him so I can just sort of end it for myself. And he just looked at me and he said, you know what, I'm really, really sorry. You know, I just didn't, you know, he didn't really have much to say. And I was okay with that.